Blog Talk Shalom. Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Yehuda Project. We are happy to be here today, and we hope that you all enjoy the show. We have a lot of exciting things that are going to take place this evening. We have a lot of announcements that we want to give as well, so we're kind of wait till the phone line's still up. Also, I want to play a song for you all, and so we can get everyone online, and I hope you enjoy the song by Donny Hathaway called We Need You Right Now.
Shalom, everyone. Welcome to the show, and we thank the Father for you being here with us another day. And today we are going to do a prayer, and we're going to deal with some things within that prayer that some of you may not be acquainted with, some of you may not understand, but it's going to have an effect on you in a way that you probably have never experienced before when it comes to dealing with the great and mighty Yahweh, Creator, and is Ruach HaKodesh. So I'm going to say a prayer. Sister Yaina, I have a scripture that to go along with the prayer so that I can make key points within the prayer that I have been moved in my heart to say and to pray concerning our people and the things that were done to us by our ancestors, our forefathers, and some of us continue to walk in these cycles of these generational things that are connected to us by what has transpired through our ancestors. So I want to read Isaiah 63 and 10. I'm just going to read this one verse, and then I'm going to pray. Isaiah 63 and 10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, or what we call the Ruach HaKodesh. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. So I'm going to go into the prayer. But in this prayer, I'm going to be dealing with some things that in your lives and the lives of the people that are listening, you may not understand why you're in certain situations, why you keep repeating certain cycles or things that you seem like you cannot pull yourself out of. Well, one reason why you won't be able to pull yourself out of it is because it's from another realm. It's from a spiritual aspect. And this is what a lot of our people, as understanding who we are as Hebrews, understanding who we are as the people of the book, we have all of the ritualistic things down, ceremonial things down, but we have omitted and out of ignorance, we have rebelled and vexed Mighty Yahweh's Ruach HaKodesh. And part of the reason why Mighty Yah is fighting against us is because we have done that. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to say some things that you may not be familiar with, but I'm going to pray. Great and mighty Yahweh, I come to you, and I bring your people, those that are listening, those that are participating on this program. I bring your people before your feet, great and mighty Yahweh. And I thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together on one accord and in unison and in harmony so that we can hear from you first. And we can get the solutions that you have for us first. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity. Because it is an honor to be able to do so. It is a privilege to be able to do so. And we do not take this lightly. This is the work of Yah. And we don't take it lightly, and we don't take it like it's a game, but we take it wholeheartedly. I thank you, Father, for our brethren and our sisters that you have ordained in this time, that you have written in your timeline to come together today. Father, I thank you for today you will begin to root up and to root out all unrighteous covenants and agreements and those things that were made with other deities by our ancestors and those that made covenants with Hashatan on the lives of your people. This day, In the name of Yahweh Elohim, knew by the authority that was given to me, all of us that have been placed on altars and have been placed in oaths and covenants of our enemy, this day I take authority over those oaths and those covenants, and I disannul them. I take the words of those oaths, I take the words of those covenants, and I bind every single last letter in each word. I bind it, I pulverize it, I dismantle those words, and I break their power. Every word, curse, and covenant that was made with our unrighteous ancestors, with unrighteous men, with unrighteous enemies and unrighteous nations and unrighteous and deities that are against Almighty Yahweh, I break the power and disannul and denounce every covenant. I release the Malachim in the name of Yahweh Eloheinu to go now and to root up and to destroy every altar that we have been placed on now in the name of Yahweh Eloheinu. Go now in the name of Yahweh Eloheinu. Go now in the name of Yahweh Eloheinu. Root up, dig up, root up and break down and destroy every altar that was made for the purpose of putting your people, your chosen seed on. We thank you now, Father. We thank you now, Father. I take authority over every word curse that has been uttered over the lives of the listeners from the time that they were in the womb until the time that they have grown to where they are today. I take authority over every word that has been spoken over them, to cause them to walk in circles, to cause them to walk in a walk that is backwards, that is against Yah. I call you forth and I break the power of those words. I bind them, I dismantle them, I pulverize them, and I break their power over your lives and even over the lives of your children. I break them. We thank you now, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you now that the power of those words have been broken. I come against and I take authority over every spirit of solipsism, egotism, and narcissism that is all rooted in idolatry, self-idolatry. We take authority over you and we lay you at the feet of mighty Yahweh. And we put on the garments of humility and meekness in the presence of the Most High. We put on the garment of humility because we cannot deliver ourselves. We cannot redeem ourselves. We cannot do this mighty Yahweh. In all our intellect, that's another one, intellectualism, idolatry of the mind, idolatry of education, idolatry of the things we have learned. We have learned things, but we have not connected to you. We have learned how to do this. We have learned how to keep the feast days. We have learned how to keep the Shabbat, but yet in all of our keeping, we have not kept our connection with you, mighty Yahweh. I ask that you forgive us. Forgive your people. Forgive us, mighty Yahweh. Forgive us.
like to walk in it. We can do nothing about it. And that's what we have forgotten. We're nothing but dust. If you were to blow on us today, Rani Yakwa, we would no longer exist. We have forgotten. And I ask you to forgive us. Forgive you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I come again, and I take authority over every unrighteous ancestral spirit that mimics the Ruach HaKodesh. And I release the true and living spirit of Yah, the true and living Ruach HaKodesh in the lives of your people, those who seek you in truth, Yahweh. In truth.
Hallelujah.
They got to stand in truth. They got to stand naked before you in truth. Because nothing that we do can be hidden from you. In all of our flaws, in all of our mistakes, nothing is hidden from your choir.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
That this prayer that is going for the people, those whose hearts and minds are open to receive, we even break up the fallow ground of the hearts and the minds of the people. We break it up that you may receive. And I seal this prayer in the name of Yahweh and the Heinu. Not only do I seal it, but I also take authority over Hashatan and his imps, that there will be no backlash or retaliation in the lives of the people that receive this prayer. You will not bring backlash to any area of their lives. You will not bring backlash or retaliation through another person. You will not bring backlash or retaliation through their children or to their children. You have been found out. You have been arrested by the Spirit of Almighty Yah. And I thank you now, mighty Yahweh, that this day is a day that your people and things in the heavenly realm have been broken up, broken down, and destroyed from the greatest principality that have been sitting over your people and holding them hostage. We have destroyed and snatched back that which belongs to you in that realm. Because that's the real realm. That's the real world right there.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you that through that, mighty Yahweh, from this day, you will begin to give us solutions to the realm of the Ruach HaKodesh of what we need to do. Because we will not do it without your Holy Spirit, without your Ruach HaKodesh. We won't vex you. We won't vex the Ruach. And we won't anger you because we will not kick against the true Ruach HaKodesh. And we thank you now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All who belong to Yahweh, Baruchata Yahweh, Eloheinu, Baruchata Yahweh. All praises belong to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Beautiful, beautiful prayer, beautiful prayer, beautiful. I want to make some announcements before we continue. We are Hebrew Israelite people. We are of the Hebrew Israelite nation. We are the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade that is in America, and this show is designed and catered to our issues as a people, our nation. We invite all people of all faiths to come on the show. We have Christians on the show today. We have Muslims on the show. We have a variety of people, but I needed to let you know that if you hear words that you do not understand, when the sister was praying and she was talking about the Ruach HaKodesh, That is the Hebrew word for the Holy Spirit. And when she called Yahweh, that is the name of our God. And instead of saying God, we don't say God. We call him by his name. His name is Yahweh. And we thank him, and we believe in the whole, in the Ruach HaKodesh. So as we begin to open up the line, we have different guests that are on. Our panel is definitely on this week. And we want to let you know that as we go on, it's an open forum. If you want to ask questions, push number one, and we'll let you, we'll open up your mic. And we're going to open up the mics of our panel so everyone can introduce themselves. We don't quite have everyone on. I don't think Brother Moshe is on yet from Chicago, but I do see Brother Abraham from Virginia, and I see Brother Adonia from Atlanta, and let's see who else we have. We're still waiting on Nasi Kamul from Brooklyn, New York, to come on the show. But Kava, if you want to introduce yourself and let everyone know where you're calling from.
Yes, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Kava. I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia, and I want to thank you all for being on the show with me and Sister Yaina. I want to thank our brethren and give you much respect and love for coming on the show and leading the way and giving us your wisdom. And our sister, and for coming on the show, we thank the Father for you. We thank Yahweh for you. All of those, I want to thank our Christian brothers and sisters. I want to thank our Muslim brothers and sisters. I want to thank you all for coming onto the show, and much love and respect to you.
All right, we're going to open up the phone line for our panel. We're going to start with area code 757, and then we're going to go to 404. 757, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. This is Abraham. Peace and blessings to the family, and we look forward to a wonderful, lively show led by the Ruach, and shalom, shalom to everyone.
All right, I'm going to leave you guys' mics open as we open it up. Area code 404, I think this is Brother Adonia, you're on the air. Hello, are you there? Maybe he's not at the phone yet. Let's see who else we have. I think that's it for right now. Anybody have any questions, or you want to bring some information to the forefront? Brother Abraham, I think there was something that you wanted to let the family know of, what was going on this week.
Hallelujah. Just wanted to ask the family to join me in prayer. We have a brother who's standing for the nation by the name of Noble Yehuda Ben Israel in St. Louis, Missouri. And when I say standing for the nation, this brother has been arrested for a simple traffic violation and on December 31st, and he's still being held today because he had his name changed to Yehuda Ben from his what we call birth name, and he's standing on the fact that he is a Hebrew Israelite. He told me he's a Hebrew Israelite. He made his name change, and they don't agree with that. So and he's standing. He's been sitting there. They won't allow him to have really any access to counsel or anything. They just basically say, we're just gonna make you sit here until you change your mind to give us your birth name. So the Most High has placed it on my heart. We've been working with him, praying for him, filing all kinds of paperwork with the courts. But the Most High put it on my heart that we should just go ahead and start praising and worshiping. I'm asking the family to join with us in praise and worship that this brother will be coming out this week. The Most High put on my heart that he'd be coming out, you know, for Pesach. We celebrate Pesach starting on Wednesday. And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread through the next 7 days after that. So I'm believing and asking the family just to not to pray for his release, but to thank Yah for his release. Mm-hmm. Thank Yah for his, you know, bringing the brother out. We know that things happen first in the spirit realm, and then they manifest in the natural.
Yes,
So I'm just asking for us to just join together and worship and praise to Yah, our power. Sister said, Yahweh Eloheinu, which is, you know, Hebrew for Yah, our power, our God, our strength. And that we would just praise him for bringing a brother out. And I thank you so much. Torah. Thank you. Torah Rabba. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah.
For your support. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to open up the lines for area code 404. Brother Adonai, are you there from Atlanta?
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. Can you introduce yourself and let everyone know where you're calling from, please?
Sir Adonia, Ben Yehuda, Ben Yisrael from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. Shalom. Good to have you on the line. We're still waiting on Brother Moshe, but Mr. Kabah, how's your week gone this week? And we're going to just open up the lines and just talk for a moment. How's it been going for you? What's been happening for you? Anything special?
You know what? The week has been going very, very well, very blessed. There's some things that have been transpiring that that the Most High have been allowing me or telling me to do, or the rule has been leading me to do. And at first, I did not understand. I didn't overstand at first the purpose of how I was being led to do certain things. But as this, in these last past few days, I've been seeing some things transpire and it's been coming straight out the Ruach, coming out the realm of the spirit, but it's also that confirmation has been coming through people. And I'll explain it to you. And I was telling Sister Yaina this, and it touched me greatly. Where I live at, there's kind of like this little wooded area, and there's a creek that flows, water that flows near this wooded area. And a lot of people don't understand the power in when you go out and pray in the atmosphere and praying outside among, praying where the Most High did the creation. And so people don't understand it. It's almost like you're closest to the Most High when you begin to pray and seek them in these areas. A lot of our people, when they were commanded to build the altar, the Most High had them use stone that didn't have any human metals or any utensils used to cut it out or anything. He always had them use things that came out of the nature or creation. So the Ruach had been leading me. He said, I want you to go out and begin to pray by this creek and pray outside by this water. And I said, okay. So I've been going out, praying by the creek, praying by the water. And while I'm doing that, there's different things the Ruach will show me in nature to speak and show me things or give me messages from the Most High and show you certain things, how dealing with the water and how certain parts of the water, some parts flowed and some parts was stopped up, the flow was stopped. And a lot of times people don't understand that water represents people and that the water represents the Ruach HaKodesh, and she began to deal with me in different areas like that. But nevertheless, I started going out praying by the creek. And in the midst of me praying by the creek, there would be certain different brothers or men that will be coming, and they will stop and ask me to pray for them.
Wonderful.
Amazing.
Wonderful.
Amazing.
Amazing.
And
amazing.
So I was out this morning praying, and there was this older gentleman, and I invited him to come on and listen to the show, told him the good things that we were doing on the show, bringing our people together. And I'm not sure if he even called in or anything, but anyway, I invited him. And he asked me a question. He said, "Sister, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I've seen you pray or stand here, not pray, but stand here, and I've seen you stand in this spot, and I've seen you stand in the other spot." He said, "And today I said I was going to ask you, are you studying nature?" And when he asked me that, he said, "Are you studying nature?" And I told him, "No, my brother, I'm out here. I come out here and pray." And he said, "Wow." So, and then I began to explain to him the reason why I come out to pray, and begin to explain to him how nature, how the Most High created nature, and how the highest frequency is among the things that are natural in connecting to the Most High. His fingerprints, his everything is all throughout nature, what he created. And he said, "Wow," he said, "I never knew that. You just taught me something." And then the man began to tell me his story.
Wow.
And I listened. And he told me how he was collaborating with the mayor of the city, because he was a veteran that used to be homeless. And he began to tell me.
Hello?
I'm cool. We're still here. She's still talking, Brother Adonia.
Oh, Slika.
It's okay. It's okay. And he began to tell me his story. He said that he was a veteran and he used to be homeless. And he's collaborating with the mayor of the city with putting together this new program for not just homeless veterans, but everybody that need housing, no matter who they are, that is in need of housing, in need of things. And he also began to tell me his story about how when he was a child, he talked about his drug addiction, how he used to be on drugs for 20 years, and how he was brought out of that. And how he now has his place that he has now, but before he used to be on the street, he didn't know what to do. He said, "But now I have my own roof. I have a place over my head, and I have a home." He said, "Every day I may not have all the food that I need, but I have my own place now." And he began to tell me something which ties into the prayer, what we did today. He didn't even know that that's what I had been praying about early, even dealing with a lot of these ancestral things that have transpired to us or been passed down to us. So that was part of my prayer this morning. So he said, "You know," he said, "when I was a young boy," he said he was about, I guess, 9 years old, and he said, "my mother," he said, "I love her. You know, I love her so much," and he said, "God rest her soul." Those are the words he used. He said, "but I loved her, but my mother was an alcoholic." And he said, "there would be days that I would come home from school, and I'm getting off the school bus, and my mom is in the liquor house." He said, "I didn't know what to do, so I would have to ask some of my friends, my childhood friends, two of my buddies." He said, "I was so embarrassed, but I would have to ask two of my childhood buddies if they could help me get my mother out the liquor house and help me carry her home so I can get her home."
Wow.
And he began to say how he said, "I did a study after he came off his drug, 20-year drug addiction or whatever," he said he did a study, and he said a lot of this stuff is connected to people that have been in our lives. He called it hereditary. That's what he called it. But I understood it was a deeper root. And he said, "You know," he said, "when I did a study," he said, "my mother was an alcoholic. Somebody else in her family was an alcoholic. Somebody else in down the line was, was an alcoholic." He said, "and I saw," He used the word root. He said, I saw the root of my problem. See, a lot of times we don't understand these different roots of our problems in our lives and the results that we get from these roots, because it's so much deeper than what the human eye can see. And when he said that to me, I rejoiced in my spirit, because I knew that that was confirmation from the Most High about what needs to be dealt with concerning the lives of us as a people, the roots of things. For instance, if you have somebody that was sexually molested as a child, and those unclean spirits come in to that child because that was an avenue, and that child is holding on to that event or that tragedy that happened to them, that was actually put on them. They didn't do it. It was put on to them. That begins to open up doors in other areas. Now you have a child who has been touched in a way that they should not have been touched, been violated. So then here's a door that opens up of anger, a door of bitterness, a door of hatred. You have a door of promiscuity. As they get older, they don't understand why they are having these sexual appetites like they have. Because guess what? They've been touched in a way that should not have been touched, and the body has a memory. So what happens is the body wants to be touched again. It doesn't even matter the cost. I just need that touch. So it goes into other areas. Well, when you don't understand the root of something, you can't figure out how to fix it. So, in understanding that when we have to get to the root of things, we have to root those things out, and they start from the realm of the spirit. Going in, we've got to deal with the issues of things. And to root it up, dig it up, and burn the roots, get rid of them. Because if it doesn't get dealt with, it continues to fester and grow and grow and grow and grow. And now you have strongholds, you have fortresses that have been built around this one thing that happened to you. So, you know, I'm just so privileged and honored that Most High would allow this man. He didn't have to give me that. He didn't have to tell me that story.
Well, let me
that
ask
was
you
to me.
No, I just wanted to know from the story, and we got a lot of people on here. We got quite a few people, and I see Brother Moshe is on the line, and I see Brother Zerubbabel is on the line as well from Chicago, and Brother Moshe is from Chicago. I'm going to get to you guys. Give me a quick moment, because there was an issue that came up last week after the show. And I think that this is going to be a very hot topic that we need to address right now, because I had one brother saying the curse is over, and I had another brother saying the curse is not over. The curse is not over. Now, I want to propose a question, because what you say and what you're saying right now deals with the curse. You know what I'm saying? Even though Yah spoke the curse on us, and you're talking about generational curses now. You're talking about things and that gets into spiritual warfare.
Right.
And that goes into pulling down strongholds and all those sorts of things. But as a nation, because we always have to deal with this as a nation of people, I just want to know, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want to know from you, do you think the curse is over, or are we still under the curse? And give me a quick observation about that thing. And that's the question that I have to the audience. Is the curse over, or are we still?
about that, because we need to get some solutions to the problem, and we need to get this thing moving. So go ahead. You can go ahead.
I want to say two things. I want to say that I believe, according to Ezekiel 37, when the Most High began to talk about the dry bones in the valley and that he was going to breathe upon those bones, what came to Adam when the Most High breathed into Adam? Life. So if the Most High is going to breathe upon a nation that has scattered the bones that have been dead, breathe. Is he not bringing life back to us so that we can come together and we can walk out this thing? Meaning that if he's waking us up, does that really mean I'm still cursed? Because remember the curse, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you do what you with the rest of the people. Remember, the curse, with the curse, was almost like a cloud that was over our eyes, our mind, like almost like a bewitching. I'm going to just keep it real. Over us, that we was just like jacked up. But if a cloud is removed and you begin to have clear thinking now, and now you can see how to get out of something, is it really still there? That's all I got to say.
All right, I'm going to open up the line. Brother Moshe, I'm sorry it took us so long. Shalom, shalom. Can you introduce yourself to the callers? We have quite a few callers on the line. Could you let them know who you are and where you're calling from, please? Hello, Brother Moshe, you there?
Shalom, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Do you want me to speak to what she said or hold on?
Yeah. No, just introduce yourself and then you can make a quick comment on what she said. Do you think the curse is over? And let
Absolutely.
Everybody know what your name is and where you're calling from.
Shalom, shalom, Brother Moshe Ben Israel, calling from Chicago. The curse is absolutely not over. It is sad that we would even subject ourselves to even believe the Almighty Yah is a lie. The curse isn't over. It won't be over until the Hamashiach comes back, for those that don't believe that. Just look around. We are a handful on a half of a finger that know who the Almighty Yah is when it's compared to the nations of us that are scattered throughout the entire world. Please, Israel, don't trick yourself, those that are listening. I'm not talking about those that have a little understanding of what this is all about. But those that don't have any understanding and just coming into this truth, don't for one second trick yourself and believe that this curse is over. Yah does not lie. He's perfect. He curses for what our forefathers have done, and the curse is going throughout our generations today until the Hamashiach comes back. Second, I'll be real quick with this. Easter is coming up. I can guarantee you, throughout the four corners of this great planet called Earth, cars will be double parked all through the inner cities of any so-called ghetto on the face of the earth, worshiping false pagan deities. Israel is doing this. They don't know they're Israel, but they're doing this. So if one or two people wake up, which is us, the one or two, that has nothing to do with the entire nation. Yah does not lie. He can't lie. And he's perfect. You can throw 1,000 scriptures out there to try to make it seem like you're not cursed. Name one or two people that's made it. So what? Quite a few of us black folks, so-called, have got a little money. They still are slaves. I can guarantee you that. They can buy a car with cash money, a $100,000 car with cash money. And I guarantee you, if they drive it on the streets with no plates and stickers on it, this heathen will take it from them. I guarantee you that. You own nothing. You're still a slave. You're in captivity. Y'all don't lie. And I hope you all meditate on that and save yourself. Pray and meditate to the Almighty Yah that he rescues you from this curse. You. that he can save you and he can have mercy on you and your family. But as a nation, we're cursed, and there's nothing we can do about it until the Most High resolves this problem. Shabbat shalom. Shalom to all that is listening. In Yeshua's Hashem. Hallelujah. Thank you.
All right, I want to also announce on this line that the chat line is open. If you want to chat with us, we can also chat with you. Wanted to make an announcement. This is a beautiful show because we have Messianic and non-Messianic alike on the show. We have Christians on the show. We have Muslims. We are just talking about, and for those who don't understand what we're talking about Deuteronomy 28. We've been in this land for almost 400 years. The curse was pronounced on us that it would be a 400-year curse. We've been here. 2019 will be 400 years. And Deuteronomy 28, from verses 15 on down to 68, is the curses that we speak about as far as we are as a nation. So I'm going to open up the line to this caller here, area code 404-207. Go ahead. You're on the air. You push 1. And if anyone has a question or a comment, please push number 1 and we'll get you right on. Go ahead. Please limit your comments to a minute.
Oh, wow. My name is Amaris Zawubi. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. And the curse, well, in Revelation it said the masses, you know, will be deceived and only a few shall be, you know, redeemed or, you know, what have you. Now, yes, curses are still there, and it's going to take a long time for us to actually break those curses. But when the Messiah comes, they say, he's going to look at those that repent and that actually make an effort to break their own generational curses. It's like I'm a living example of trying to break whatever my mother or father had did, the situations that they have done in the past. But, you know, just get off of my subject. When we as a people come together and stop talking and really do something about it, really remove ourselves from the situation, which is the government or what have you, attempt to do that, and our ancestors and the Most High actually see that, then, yes, we will be removed from the curse if people do believe that we are still, you know, being cursed or not being cursed. It's going to be a long time before everybody is removed from this. But
you see, think it's a generational curse? You think it's generational and that we can remove it ourselves?
It's generational and it's blood. It's blood. It's blood. It's in our blood. I'm like, as soon as we started mixing, as soon as we started falling from by the wayside, you know, that's when the generational curses started, you know. And when we like make an effort, at least stop talking, but make an effort to actually remove ourselves from that situation, because I'm in my mother was in the situation that my grandmother was in the situation that my grandmother was in the situation all the way back when we started, you know, when we started to fall by the wayside or fall from grace. You know, okay. There's ways that we can get out of the situation. We are God's children. At some point, we're going to have to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're going to have to grow up and actually get some solutions, or just at least, you know, get out of our situation. It's like, the Messiah, he's going to come. However, what are we going to do in the meantime?
Okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Okay, we're going to let area code, you're on the air, 825 is the first three numbers. Go ahead, you're on the air. You push one. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, we're here. Go ahead. You
can
have
you
1 minute. Yeah, we can
hear you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, this is
Bruce Shea Mike from Thompson, Georgia. And I'd just like to say we're still under the curse. And as long as you live in a land that's not your one, we're going to forever be up under the curse. So anybody that thinks that we're not up under the curse, we're still under it. Because all you got to do is look around and look at what's going on. I agree with the brother earlier, too. You know, you can buy what you want to buy over here, but when they get ready for it, they can take it from you, and you're still cursed because you're still in the land of the enemy. Only way we're going to get free from this, and the solution is that people's got to turn back to y'all, be willing to go back into the land, and be willing to be washed clean by y'all and get free of this, and then y'all would blot out the sin. And so until we, as long as we stay here, wherever we at, we're not in the land, we are cursed. And after, I know we only got a minute, so I'm going to go ahead and cut it off right there and let somebody else have the mic. Thank you.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you for being time sensitive. Brother Adoniyah, your mic is on. You pushed one a couple times. You have something to say?
Kane, this is Adoniyah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We got you. Go ahead.
Hey, First, I want to say this to Brother Abraham, if he's still on the line, you understand? I want you to know that I support you 100%, brother. And I understand what he's going through. Secondly, you understand, everybody that spoke, man, hit right on what I'm about to say, is that all of these things that we're up against and we're going through, there's a solution for this here. We must come back to the Almighty, but we got to show the Most High God that we want to come back to the Almighty. Prayer is significant. Don't get me wrong, but we got to think about what we ask for. We ask for forgiveness, and we ask that the forgiveness for our forefathers, and then we ask for we say that we want him to bless our hand. Then we get up and we don't do nothing. You understand? My suggestion here is that we start coming together as a nation. Abraham, Yah spoke to Abraham and told him, I'll make a nation out of you. Not Abraham, Moses. And Moses pleaded for our case. That was the start of us having a nation. Now, we can't come together on the doctrine because there's so many different understandings here we got, you understand, make your head spin around. So what we can do is start supporting our own nation. This place right here is coming down. I wonder next month if I'm going to get my Social Security check, you understand? So we got to understand where we stand here. Now, everything that we said can manifest out of this one thing. This one thing here is that we come together and start supporting our own nation. Yah will show favor. If we know the Almighty, you understand, the way we say we do, the Most High God will bless our hand tremendously. You understand? And so, you know, all of those things stem right off of what was said today, and I agree with everything, you understand? But we got to start somewhere, and we need to start now. We got to be responsible for our brothers and sisters. We don't even have to touch hands, you understand, if we come together and start building a treasury. We build a treasury, you understand, so that we can support those things that we say we need, you understand? Now, we don't know when y'all is going to bring out his judgment. But until then, we need to come together as a nation. I know we got to understand, we ain't talking about, see, this is Yah's plan. He put us together for a particular reason. This is not just by chance. The Almighty is orchestrating all of this here. He got to have his glory. You understand? From all the peoples, What more could he have? I mean, what more could? How is he going to get it? By bringing the people to his lowest spot, then bringing them back up while all the other nations crumble. And that's what's happening today. Now, if we, and I'm sorry that I'm getting so passionate, but this, look here, this is all about the Almighty. But we could save our children if we start something and build a nation, start taking care of our own. You understand? This stuff is, this place is crumbling fast.
Yes, it is.
One other thing here, too, is that it's not, see, we forget that the Almighty's hand is not short. He'll make this happen. He said he would take care of us.
Yes, he did.
He will watch over us. All we got to do is do something. We got to come back to Yah. He didn't leave us. We left him. You understand? We got to show him that we want to go back home. He'll straighten out all of that stuff if we came together as a nation.
But guess what? I have to interfere with that because we got a problem, though. We have a problem. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Because me, I was a Christian pastor, okay? I came out of Christianity. I'm standing here in the middle. I see this side over here, Group A, got the joy. They got the deception. They got the lie. But they got the joy. They got the praise. They got the worship. They got it down. I mean, they have it down. But then I come over here on this side, well, where the truth is, where the believers are, where the bloodline is, and they complacent. Everybody's scared to move. Don't nobody want to do nothing. I'm with you 100%. We got to build a nation. But something has to go on with us as the people to the point where we got to wake up and stop being scared. Because if you're going to be scared, then be scared. But if you're going to stay home, but let the ones that want to do something, and support us. If you're not going to be there physically, support with finances. I mean, like Graham said, this young man is in jail. He's been locked up since December the 31st. And you know what most of them will say? Well, ain't nobody telling me to do that anyway. We told them that was going to happen. They trying to do something before it's time. It ain't time yet. People talking about, well, we tried to do this years ago. And we had this happen to us, and this was going on, and that was going on. But the truth of the matter is, we're not talking about then.
Let me say something. Say this here. You understand? That's all about the curse. Curse is still here. It's still in existence. We the one that got to come back and start trying to do something here. Now, I'll do all I possibly can for the brother. You understand? But and whoever else wants to do something, that's fine too. But if we come together, when these things arise, then we have financial support to support those things, so we don't have to go to them white people and they tell us, well, there's nothing I can do, you understand, even if we got the money. So we got to have all of these things in place. And we're talking about the Almighty, man, blessing our hand in an endeavor that's his plan. You understand? Now, when we come on this line here, you understand, this is part of us bringing this plan into fruition. Now, I'm not saying that I got it all right, and I don't know. There's a lot of holes in my stuff, you understand? But we might want to consider some of this stuff, and I relinquish the mic.
I agree with you. So we're going to open up the mic, because guess what? Like my brother Moshe said, we got Christians. The Easter coming up. And guess what they're going to do? We know what the meal going to be, because it's the same all the time. They're going to go get that big, nasty ham, that meat that we ain't supposed to touch, and they're going to put that ham on that table, and they're going to cut that ham and bless it, supposedly in the name of Yah, which we know is diabolical and wrong. We got a whole church, a whole Christian church that's full of denominational division, and they don't get along. But then over here on the Hebrew side, we got the truth, and we ain't standing up, so we got to start doing something now. So then my question to you is, what do we do? Brother Adonia, I said we need to build a nation. Somebody else push one and tell me, what is your suggestion? What do you think we should do? Your mic is open for those that are on the panel.
Adonia? Yeah, well, what I was saying is that we need to get the heads of the congregations, you understand, to come to the table, not under the doctrine, because the doctrine ain't going to do nothing but keep us apart. But we need to come together to try to find a solution that's going to uplift our people. Now, my solution here is that we bring 10%. 10%, we spend that, at 10% for a whole year, and then those that people that contribute get a chance to vote on how we, what avenue we're going to take to try to support that endeavor. Now, and if we know the Almighty, see, the Almighty blesses our hand if we come together under that realm, just under that little thing. And the people that know, have this understanding, we can't wait for somebody else to jump on board. The only, you know, only time Israel work is when they see a finished product. You understand? So we need to make some kind of effort in doing something and make some kind of commitment to the restoration of the of Israel. You understand? We can't go into the land with the understanding that we have today. You understand? Our understanding is all scattered all out, man. We'd be like the Tower of Babel. You understand? So what we got to do is these things will be ironed out. We got to give ourselves the opportunity.
And I relinquish the mic.
That's a good idea. Okay, so let me ask these questions out here. So if you have a question or a comment, push number one. We got a lot of callers on the line. If you have something that you want to say, please push number one. And I am going to open up this mic here. 426, you're on the air. Go ahead, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. I guess they can't hear me. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Moshe.
I would love to say something. For those that's listening and for those that's listening via the Internet, archive the show, tune in, and never forget the statement you are about to hear and meditate on it. The brother said earlier, we're not in our land. There's a group called the Kingdom of Yah right now that's ran by a gentleman by the name of Ben-Amin. They're in the land right now, Israel. Everybody that's listening right now. They're in the land. They've been there since 1968. They got their own schools. They got their own hospitals. They got their own grocery stores. They grow their own food. They got their own farms. They're in the land. They got everything you hear me talking about right now. And here's the sad news. They still in captivity. They in the land, and they're still in captivity. You know why? Because this is a curse from Yah. You can't escape this, people. They got a treasury. They got all of that. Go to the land right now and join them, and you will find out very quick you're still in captivity. It won't change until Yah do this. When are we going to accept what Yah has done and stop trying to think for him? He told us why he put us in this, and he told us when it's going to end. Once we accept that truth, then we will start to see the change in the nation of Israel. But all of this going back to the land, the Kingdom of Yah and Demona Israel, they over there right now. They got everything you hear people say that we need as a nation, and they still in captivity. They got brothers and sisters in the military over there right now. He cannot move without the so-called Jews' permission. And he's in the land. He's there. Go join them for those that want to go to the land and try to ruin or change what Yah has done. Go there and watch how quick you want to run back here. Watch how quick you want to do it. I hope you all meditate on this. I'm very stern when I defend the Almighty Yah and what is written in the Torah. Mm-hmm. Yah did this, and he's the only one can fix it, not us. Yah is going to fix this. You want freedom? Good luck. You want to serve Yah? Do it yourself. Shalom.
Right. All right, we're going to the yes, hold on just a minute. 773, I have your mic open. We're going to let Kavai make
shalom,
comment.
Shalom.
Go ahead. Hold on one moment, sir. Hold on. Kavai, go ahead.
I just want to make a statement or have something to say, because we keep talking about the land and going back to the land, and that these people over there are in, and I say, what's the so-called land. And the reason why I say what the so-called land, because we have to remember that boundaries have been moved. I mean, what they say is Israel over there, that little sliver, what they say is Israel, or what we believe to belong to the 12 tribes, ain't even big enough to house us.
Amen. That's true.
So how in the world is that the land when the boundaries have been moved?
Amen.
And the second thing I want to say, that Israel is more of a who than it is a where. If Israel is where I am now, and we gather together as a nation of people while we are here in this land, is it not that the Almighty cannot use us to open enemies and take over their land? But we don't think like that.
Amen.
That's all I got to say.
Shalom.
All right, Eric Code 773, can you still
all right, shalom,
time,
y'all.
Shalom.
Yeah, you know, I want to agree with Moshe and the sister that just spoke. You know, the scripture talks about a new Jerusalem. You know what I'm saying? Like us trying to go over there to the land. I mean, unless we going for vacation, like it still ain't the place that's promised to us. You know, a new Jerusalem is going to come. You know, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And like the sister said, that land that's being occupied right now by Esau, no, it ain't big enough for us. If you go into the scriptures and you see how much land that the tribes had, they, like one tribe might have had like 18 cities. Another one might have had like 8. Another one might have had like 12. But I think all together it end up, them folks had like, I don't know, I might be wrong about it, but I think it said 48 cities. You know what I'm saying? And that land stretched so far out. You know, like us trying to solve the problem ourselves is where we go wrong in the first place. You know, like the scripture says, don't lean on your own understanding, that we should trust Yah with all our heart. You know, and it's safe for us to stand firm in our faith. Us trying to fix this problem ourselves, we just going to make more problems for ourselves. Shalom.
All right, now, Sister Yainas, can you open up a 404-207 mic?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to open up right now. But real quick, I want to say something. I've heard all of the comments, and the comments are great, and the comments are good. But the reality of it all is that we're in exile. We're a nation in exile. And we still, whether we're here or whether we're there, we still going to have to come together, because we're stronger in numbers and we're unified in numbers. The problem that I have with everybody is that everybody's saying different things. Well, we can't do it because of this. We know we can't go back to the land that's occupied. We know somebody's already in there. That's not the issue. The issue is we need to come together and stop being scared. And when I say come together, I mean come together as a people and start supporting
yeah.
each other. Come together as a people and start participating with each other. We don't care whether you're Messianic. Not, I look at it like this. We all came over here on the same boat. We are descendants
yeah.
of the same people in the book. The non-Messianics
yeah.
and the Messianics came on the same ship. We came together, we're going to leave together. So it's a matter yeah. of us coming to the point where Adonai is white. We're not going to come together on doctrine. It's too many isms and schisms in the doctrine thing. But we need to come together on the fact that we are Hebrew Israelites. And that should be enough to gather us together as a nation. And we ain't got to wait on Yah, Wah, Yahweh. We have that power in our hands to do right now. There are things going on right now that are happening right now that we can support each other. And we still won't. We still don't come together. But guess what? The Christians do. Let T.D. Jakes throw a conference, and they're not even conscious. Let Noel Jones have a conference. They're not even conscious, but they show up, they support, they be there for each other. So we got to stop all of the excuses and start making an effort to come together. And on that note, I'm going to tell everybody we have 49 minutes left. Please limit your comments to 1 minute. I'm going to go to Erico 404. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Erico 352. Go ahead. You're on the air. Erico 352?
Yes. Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
I agree with the sister. What I think is, I think that we are in captivity. That's most definite. We all should know that. But the minute we find out who the Most High is and we turn to the Most High and we repent for our sins and we really try to do what's right, that our captivity is lifted and the Most High watches over us. That's what I believe. And as far as going back to the land, come on, we can't go back to the land. The Most High said he's going to come get us. He didn't say gather yourselves and come back. He said he's going to get us. Who do we think we are that we could do his job? We're here because we didn't listen, and we're still not listening. That's all I have to say.
Okay, the sister said, the Most High said he's going to come and get us, and we're not going to be able to gather ourselves together. But I beg to differ, because guess what? I can walk you through the Old Testament. I can walk you through the New Testament where it says that he uses man to negotiate things. Maybe it's just me. I'm not going to say that. Let's go to area code 404, because I feel like I'm by myself. Ain't nobody supporting over here, but I'm going to open up the mic. Area code 404, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, though. I agree with you about, yes, it last week or last strong, as some of my cooperative people say, because we're not weak, we're strong people anyway. Last strong on Sunday, we talked about the determining factor. And the determining factor is us.
Yes, it
we
is.
Talk about how powerful our speech is, how powerful our actions are, and how it actually affects what's outside. My sister Kavala mentioned how when we pray outside and we're around nature, you know, things happen. You talk about the land, our land, or what have you, but before this land broke up into seven continents, it was one piece of land. So in retrospect, all of this is our land. And when you say that and say, okay, we're going to go to this land or what have you, we occupying our land right now. And when we say that knowledge is power and the lack of knowledge shall surely destroy my people, there's knowledge out there that can actually help us to assist us in taking back our land. So when we say point blank that our people need to come together, it does not matter about culture. It does not matter about religion. It does not matter about any of that. The color of our skin determines our mindset. And our mindset is cursed because of lack of knowledge. We are black, brown, yellow, red, what have you. I don't care what we are called. However, as a people, before we were gathered up and taken to this land or what have you, we circumnavigated this land anyway before they even got us into captivity.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say that the Most High is waiting on us to do something, stop talking, do something. You know, gather up our talent, gather up our gifts that Most High has given us, and use that to create our own place. That's all I got to say, because, you know, you see Mother Nature out there. You see nature taking back what has been scarred on her. And we're connected to Mother Nature. You see all these typhoons, all these tsunamis, everything. But in retrospect, do you even see us dying? It's everybody else.
Wow. Good point.
It's everybody else. So our captivity is almost over. However, our captivity needs to, our mindset, that's our captivity.
Yes.
That's our captivity. You see that everybody else is getting sick, dying, getting killed, what have you, blah, blah, this. Asteroids coming out of the sky, hurting everybody else except for us, the people with color. Because we are the indigenous people. We are the ones that was created from this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was born from us. And you see everybody else getting sick and dying. You see our white folk going back to stone.
Uh-oh, we lost her. I'm sorry, we lost her. She's going to have to try to call back in. Brother Moshe, you want to say something? We got 1 minute. We got 43 minutes left. Please leave your comments to 1 minute. Go ahead, Brother Moshe.
Thank you. Yah is the greatest. In Psalms 64, 1 and 2, it says, "Hear my voice, O Elohim, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked." Why is he saying hide me? When are we going to trust and believe what Yah say? This enemy is shooting at us secretly, trying to kill us every day, every single day. And when you stick your head out and make a lot of noise, you draw attention to yourself. Teach the word of Yah to those that seek in him. And don't cast your pearls before swine. Everybody not going to listen. Everybody not even interested. But as a nation of people that's listening, that will archive this show back, Yah did this. He did this. I will keep saying it until the day I give up the ghost, Yah forbid. But Yah did this.
Okay,
and he alone going to gather us and take us back.
Okay. Moshe,
let me ask you a question. Obama's got a health care plan coming out. Let's do a scenario, because we got time. Obama's got a health care plan coming out. And in that health care plan, I was told that one of the stipulations for it is that you got to have a chip in your hand. Now, according to what I read in the scriptures, that is considered to be the mark of the beast. Now, I don't have foreign objects in my body. I don't plan on having no foreign objects in my body. So then we're proposed with a question. If that is mandatory, and it's made mandatory for us to be able to do that, then how are you going to escape that? I mean, because he's always made a way of escape for us through man being able to do negotiations. Nehemiah negotiated things for us. Daniel negotiated things. I mean, he's always had a man or men, per se, and when I say men and women, to come together and do things. So that is Yah doing that. When Yah puts the things in the minds of the prophets, and he puts things in the minds of the leaders and say, "Get up, I need you to go do this," or "Get up, I need you to go do that," or "Get up, I need you to do that," and out of obedience, he opens up the door for you to do certain things. It's like Adonai, I say, most people don't want to have nothing to do with it until they see the finished product. So my thing is, I understand all the, it's Yah, and Yah got to come and get us, and Yah got to do this, but Yah has always used the assistance of human of us as a nation of Israel to be able to do what we need to get done through the governments that we need to be able to get it done through. So I don't believe in we just sit back and teach. They've been teaching this for a long time. I mean, this has been going on for a long time, and from what I see, where I see, I don't know what kind of spirit is over. I mean, for real, I understand. I give me with the curse. I get the curse. I understand the curse.
Right.
I get all that. I get all of that. But when I go over into the deception over there where they at and they shouting and they praising and they worshiping, and then I come over to the truth and then everybody complacent, it's a spirit over y'all, and we need to cast that spirit down because
yes.
we have the power to change the situation, and it's
yes.
not good enough for us just to sit back and preach and teach the word. That ain't good enough. We have the power to be able to call those things that be not as though they were. He gave us the power of our tongue to speak blessings and cursing. So we are not,
yes.
I'm not, let me calm myself down. I got to take a deep breath.
Can I respond to that, sister?
Let me say this. Yaina, Yah-Israel, is not going to sit down and be quiet and go teach a Sabbath class, because this is way bigger than a Sabbath class.
Yes.
We're talking about
yes.
a nation being preserved. We're talking
yes.
about, and when you got the fake people shouting and praising, we don't even do that part. We can't even come together to do that much. It's
Can
a
I respond?
Over Israel.
Can I respond?
Oh, it's a spirit over Israel got
yes.
a dead spirit over them, and it needs to be cast down, and they got spirit over them, and we need to pull that fear spirit down
yes.
and get to move.
Yes. And
well,
I can't go for that. I'm sorry. No.
Let me piggyback off of what you said, Sister, Brother Moshe, we'll give you a chance to respond, but I want to piggyback. When Sister Yaina, I agree with you 100%, because when I go back through the scriptures, who negotiated the release of our people from Egypt? The Most High sent Moshe, and he sent Aharon. Who negotiated for the wall of Jerusalem to be rebuilt? Nehemiah went back to build a wall. Who did that? Who negotiated for our people to be delivered from the wicked hands of Haman and the law that Haman had for the king to pass to destroy our people? Who negotiated that?
Let me please respond to that. Please. Please.
Go ahead, Moshe.
Now, here in Chicago, Sister Yaina know this, for the listening audience that's listening. We just started a prison ministry to go into the Cook County Jail here in Chicago to minister to them brothers that's incarcerated. That's doing something. See, you have a whole lot of Israelite Knessas throughout the Americas and throughout the world. That's doing that. They're not advertising. You don't hear about all this because they're not seeking the glory of men. They're seeking the glory of Yah. That's who we seek the glory of and get our crown and points from, Yah. I don't give a damn if no man in the world know that I'm doing this. But those brothers were written in scripture, praise Yah, hallelujah. But it's brothers all over the world that's doing this, going to battered women's shelters, going to homeless shelters, going to fatherless, dealing with the fatherless, dealing with the widows, dealing with the homeless. You have brothers all over that's doing that, feeding the homeless in the inner cities, helping these HIV-infected women in the inner cities with their medications. You have Israelite brothers doing that, but they're not seeking the honor and the attention of man. Yah acknowledges
either.
That.
But Moshe,
that's
we're not
what
either. And
right.
the sad part about it is this. Guess what? Last week you got on the radio and you said they're killing each other in Chicago. And we as Hebrew Israelites have a bad problem projecting the blame on the church. You said it's a church on every corner, but from what I hear, it's a whole lot of Hebrew Israelite camps on the corner, too. It's time to get up out the chair, get up off their butt, and go out in the street and start doing what he gave us the power to do. We can't keep blaming the pastors no more because we put those scriptures and direct those scriptures towards the pastors. That's over with. That's not good enough no more. Guess what? We can stop all of that right now. We don't need Al Sharpton. We don't need Jesse Jackson. We don't need no. All we need is a few good men and women that ain't scared to step out there and say, Satan, you rebuke. We rebuke you in the name of Yahweh. That's all it takes. We ain't trying to get no recognition. Nobody's trying to get no glory because all the glory goes to Yahweh. But guess what? You got to get up and do something, and we got to stop blaming the church because the church ain't got the truth. We have.
Shalom, shalom, Mr. Adonia.
Go ahead, Brother Adonia.
Kane, first of all, you understand, I want to commend you on what you said earlier in regards to us coming together as a nation and building this treasury, because nothing happens by chance. We got to keep all of those little programs going on. That's a program that's necessary, you understand, but we could support more. We need our own food line. You understand? We need to be distributing. We need to be taking care of our elderly and our widowless. You understand? They got people who have struggling with their mortgage and their rent. We should be able to step right up, and they shouldn't have to go through all those little agencies that's going to turn us down, you understand, and have you crying at night. You understand? We need to do this for our own nation. Now, if the Almighty is going to come and bring us back into the land, that has to be seen. At least we be in some kind of shape, you know, for our children. Our children, that's what it's all about, you understand? Especially if you become in your 50s, because there might be a chance that you don't even get a chance to go into the land, you understand? And things are happening so fast here. Just the other day, man, on TV, man, I see that them homosexuals got a church where they can go and get married. This stuff, man, this is a defiled land here. Now, all of that, us going back into the land, the Almighty will show us how all of that. He will bring that into our understanding the same way he brought the little bit of understanding that we got today. You understand? We have to understand that I don't think that we understand that this is the Almighty's plan. This is all orchestrated by the Creator. You understand? We had to be brought down this low in order for the other nations to see us rise. You understand? That's how, and that's written in the scriptures, if I'm not mistaken. You understand? So, we got to dedicate ourselves and commit ourselves for the restoration of Israel. You understand? That's our job. We supposed to do that till we die. We ain't in no land. We still here. We lollygagging and see Ben Amin is under the auspices of those Europeans. You understand? So, I mean, that his mind. If we came together here, and another thing here too is, I thought that we supposed to go back. It was supposed to have been the Judites, the Levites, and Benjamin. You understand? Those were supposed to have been the first people that came back. And I thought that we were supposed to be part of the Judite nation, the Judite tribe. You understand? And there's Benjamin, and there's, what's his name? We supposed to be the ones that spearhead this thing to go back into the land. But that's neither here nor there. That would be brought out, you understand, after we start taking care of our own. And the Almighty will show us how to do all of that, man. All we got to do is try to work towards, dedicate ourselves and commit ourselves to the restoration of Israel in the name of the Yah.
Guess what, but Brother Young Adonia, the problem is this. All of that's good, but at the end of the day, our kids are killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are killing each other. And there's no social program. And Moshe, no, I love him to death. We have these heated conversations all the time. For those that are listening, we are not arguing. We are just agreeing to disagree agreeably. And we get a little passionate about the way we feel. You still love me, Moshe?
Our
kids are killing each other. And we got to do something to stop it. There's no government program that's going to stop it. There's no church program that's going to stop it. There's no after-school program that's going to stop it. Our men and women of Israel are going to have to get out in those streets and stop and talk to our kids, because they're hurting each other. And they're hurt, and we're trying to do something to let them know they don't have to do this to themselves. And that's coming together as a nation. We don't have to be scattered, people scattered all over the place. We can still be scattered everywhere and come together as a nation and support ourselves. There's no reason why we can't do that. The prisons are good. We're trying to stop prisons. We're trying to stop the welfare system. We're trying to do all those things, but we got to come together and do this in unison for the when we get ready to leave here, because we are leaving here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can I be heard?
Can.
Yes, please.
Can.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All righty. I love it. This is a passionate discussion. It's not a debate. And, again, everybody's right. See, we have to consider that this is not Moshe's right and Yaina's wrong, or Yaina's wrong and Moshe's right. Everybody's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, you know, this versus that. This is about this and that. So how do we pull it all together? Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding.
Hallelujah.
See, what we're dealing with is a lack of understanding, overstanding, and understanding. Because right now, we're all over the place. So I'm going to ask Yaina, I need more than a minute. I'm going to ask for permission first. If I can't have a minute, then I'll keep my comment to a minute. But if I can't have more than a minute, okay. Let's deal with this thing. I'm going to try to break this into two or three sections, okay? First and foremost, we have to understand and overstand this whole issue about are we in a curse or are we not in a curse. That's critical. I'm going to talk about that. Secondly, we have to understand why certain people are stressing nation building, because that's tied to the curse, and the understanding and the overstanding of the curse is going to bring the whole scenario about the nation. And then the last thing that I'm going to hit on is we have to understand that Yah, the people, and the land are one. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Akkad, is talking about the covenant that Yah made with his people and the whole process of bringing oneness and unity. So Yah, the people, and the land have to come back together because that's the fulfillment of the covenant. All right? So I'm going to try to get all that in about 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay.
So let's start off with the first thing. Like everything else, the curse is bigger than just one event. We talked about the curses of people. We talked about generational curses. All of those things are right. But just like the covenant has multiple layers, the curse has multiple layers. So let's talk about the covenant that has multiple layers. The first covenant was an Adamic covenant that Yah made when he actually decided that he was going to let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. That was a covenant. There was a Noahic covenant. But the Most High said that I will destroy the earth again by water, and as long as you see that rainbow in the sky, I'll never destroy the earth again. That's a covenant. There's a covenant that Moshe has. So there's a covenant that Abraham had, Abrahamic or Abrahamic covenant. So if we've got multiple covenants, there's a covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31. So if we got multiple covenants, then we might consider that we've got multiple curses that play themselves out in different ways. So, like Brother Moshe said, he was absolutely positively right. We're still under a curse, and we need to understand that. But the problem is that we don't know what curse we're under. The sister said that she was dealing with generational curses. She's absolutely right. A generational curse is something that's more narrowed down to a individual family. There's something that may have happened with your great-grandmother that gets passed down through your bloodline generationally. That's a generational curse. That can affect you, and you can still be under the big curse, because the curse started when the Most High separated Adam from the garden. He separated, he cast him out of the garden. That was the beginning of the curse. We got separated from the land initially in the garden. And everything else has been sort of a snowball effect from that point. He cursed us when we decided that we would be disobedient when he told Moshe, I label for you this day blessings and curses based on the covenant that he made with us for keeping the laws, commandments, and statutes. That is a curse, but it doesn't change the fact that Adam was still cursed when he got kicked out of the garden. So the curse is real. And until we understand the curse, we won't understand our condition. Generational curses are real and can be individualized to a family or to a person in their situation. So all of that kind of represents the curse. And so we have to look at that from the totality. So how will we know when we come from under the curse? The only way to know is when we've been reconnected back to Yah and to land. When we get reconnected, it says in Isaiah that it will go back to the way that it was in the garden. It's telling us we're going to reconnect back to that garden time. Okay, so here are a couple of quick things, and then I'm on release the mic. Here's the issue about gathering yourself together. Zephaniah chapter 2. Verse 1 says, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O shameless nation, or nation less desired, if you read the King James Version. Before the decree bring forth the day when the one passes as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you, before the day of Yahweh's anger come upon you. Seek ye, Yahweh, all you humble of the earth that have executed his ordinances, seeking righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you shall be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. The time that Yaakov's trouble is coming. We got to get this thing together with quickness because we don't have a lot of time. But Yah's telling us, he says right here, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O nation. So that brings us into nation. The only way that we can overcome to understand that we can come out of the curse, you know, the curse is not going to go away till Yah lifts it, but we can bring ourselves closer to Yah in righteousness, and the effects of the curse will be less and less because the curse is nothing but a separation from Yah. So when you come closer to Yah, you shake off the effects of the curse as you get closer to Yah. When you become one with Yah, the curse is over. So there's a progression that you can go through as you follow the law's commandments, as you reach out to brothers in the prison, as you reach out to the homeless, as you reach out to the widow, as you keep the, you know, all the laws and the commandments and the statutes of Yah, you get closer to him, the curse has less of an effect on you, because the closer you get to Yah, the less effective the curse is. The further you get away from Yah in disobedience, the more effect the curse is seen in your life. It's very blatantly apparent and vivid in your experience, the farther away you get from Yah. So we have to reconnect with Yah. Yah's going to heal our land, which is a collective of all of us. We're going to get healed as we get closer to Yah. And then the last thing I'm going to bring up is the fact that here's the problem of discounting the curse. Okay, if you go to Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah, and I got to find this real quick. Yirmiyahu chapter 4. It says, if you will return, O Yisrael, says Yah, yes, return unto me. If you will put away your detestable things out of my sight and will not waver. I'm telling you, it's just all about Yah. It's not about us. You know, Sister Kavai had a beautiful prayer. We have to reconnect ourselves to the Most High. He's going to bring us together bone on bone, just like in the Valley of the Dry Bones. Flesh is going to come on those bones. You know, muscle's going to come on those bones. And guess what? The very first thing those valley of dry bones, an exceedingly great army, said when they stood up, after the breath of Yah blew on them, They still said, we are very dry, and our hope is gone. Why? Because you're going to have people coming out of Christianity, and that's what they believe all their life. That's what their grandmama believed. That's what their great-grandmother believed. And you're going to stand up and tell them that's all a lie. They're going to say, yo, I'm very dry. I'm confused. My hope is gone. Because what I believed in and my grandmother believed in and my great-grandmother believed in, you're telling me that's a lie. I don't know what to believe. So we got to have compassion because y'all's going to wake up. It says in Daniel, everyone will awake out of the dust of the earth. So everybody's going to wake up, and when they wake up, they're going to be confused, just like somebody coming out of a coma. And we have to have love and compassion for them and not beat them over the head and say you shouldn't have been a Christian in the first place, or you shouldn't have believed in this, or you shouldn't have been a Muslim. Y'all said that all of us, okay, he says that you will serve other gods. He told us right off the bat, when you get separated from me, you will serve other gods, even wood and stone, and I will not show you favor. So the Most High already told us, we're going to serve other gods. That's why we're in this condition. It's a part of the curse. The curse is relief from the curse comes as you get closer to Yah. And then the final thing to let you know that the curse is over is when we come back to Yah in unity and oneness, and he will restore us to our land. Last thing on the land is that you got to know that the land is not just the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and all that. It says in Bereshit, or Genesis, in chapter 15, it tells us that the land falls between, it says 15:18. In that day, Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto your seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, which we all know that the river of Egypt is the Nile River, okay, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Do you know how much land that is between the Nile? That takes up Egypt. That takes up Syria, Jordan, Yemen, this, you know, the whole Sinai Peninsula. That's a large, I mean, we can all fit between the River Nile and the Euphrates. And that's what Yah promised Abram. That's the covenant right out of Bereshit chapter 15, verse 18. So don't let them shape the narrative for us that we all got to cram into the West Bank or the Gaza Strip or Yerushalayim. That's the capital area. But the land is from the River Nile to the Euphrates. And I guarantee you we can all fit in there. Shalom, hallelujah, and I release the mic.
Shalom, can I be heard, Sister Yana?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead and have it. We got 17 minutes, so you guys, we gonna everybody get a chance to say something. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say something. Brother Abraham mentioned about the land in Genesis, the 15th chapter, where it talks about from the river of Egypt, or from the Nile River to the river, I believe he said, the Euphrates. I believe that's what he said, what the scripture said. But I do have a question, because I know that is a vast amount of land, and we were promised a vast amount of land. Our father Abraham was, and that was the promise. But I have a question here, because so often we seem to forget that even though we have been promised, the promise was to us for the land and to lead the other nations to be the priests of Yah, the Most High also blessed Ishmael and also gave them an inheritance. So are you saying that we would take over their inheritance too, because the Most High gave them an inheritance? See, that's what some of the problem I have, because a lot of times we forget about that our cousins was given an inheritance. They weren't given the covenant. We were given the covenant, but they were given an inheritance.
Hallelujah. Can I answer that?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. That's an excellent, excellent point, because we, a lot of times, we don't have an understanding of the totality of the picture. Now, I think you may have brought up that the seven continents used to be one, which that was called Pangaea. Before, and there's different theories on it, but my personal theory is that when the flood happened, it actually, that was so not traumatic. That was so epic to the earth that it literally pushed it apart and created the seven continents. That's just my opinion, because I do believe in it all was one land, and if you want to look it up, it's called Pangaea. Now, so all of this earth belongs to us, and so when we are talking about the inheritance, Israel has an inheritance. Avram's seed, because when he said that Avram's seed, he was talking about the promise that he made to Yitzchak. All right, because he already told Ishmael that he would make a nation out of him.
All right, so
there is a whole another promise, if you will, that Yah made to Ishmael and to Hagar and Ishmael that would be a nation. That's got nothing to do with between the Nile and the Euphrates. The Nile and the Euphrates is specifically the covenant that he was making for Avram for Israel, or at that time, Yitzchak, which was his son, you know, Yaakov, and then Yaakov's name was changed to Israel. All right, so that is that. Now, even when the 12 tribes got expanded, when Ephraim and Manasseh were given a blessing, a part of that is a part of this the North American continent. See, so they even had a covenant and a blessing that covers the North American continent. So all of this really belongs to us, the whole world. This whole world was made for Israel. So but if you look at our current condition, how are you going to tell me that a people that have the blessing of the creator of all, the Elohim of the Elohim, we are the apple of his eye, and they consider us to be the people of the diaspora. We don't even have no land. We are dispersed about the whole continent. You're going to tell me that's not a curse? Everybody else, the Chinese, Japanese, the Koreans, the Taiwanese, the Brazilians, the all throughout the continent of Africa, everybody got a land but us. We are the only people on the planet, that don't have any land, and they don't even recognize us in this country. We got gay rights. We got marriage equality. They treat pit bulls better than they rape Michael Vick over the coal for something he did to a pit bull. They'll treat dogs better than they'll treat us. And we don't understand we're under a curse. So, you know, to get back to what you said, is everybody has a land. So all that Yah is going to do is restore us to our land. That may be between the Nile and the Euphrates. That may be for Ephraim and Manasseh or Ishmael, another piece of land. But everyone of Abraham's seed has to be reconnected to a land, because that's a part of being a people. Your resources, you know, your natural resources, your minerals, your ability to have a home and a shelter and to feed yourself and to produce comes from land. If you're not connected to land, you can't really truly be a people. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, we are not a people. We're people of the diaspora. We're not connected to anybody's land. We don't really own nothing in America. And all this little stuff that you think you own because you got a mortgage and you paid your house off, I'm going to give you a wake-up call. You don't own it, because guess what? Right. It's still owned by the state. They still have what's called eminent domain. If they decide they want to build a highway through your backyard, they're going to come through there and they're going to tell you got to leave. Eminent domain means that you don't own it. You only are a tenant in the entirety. You're renting it from the state. So we got to understand the terminology. They tell you right in your – read it. It says you're a tenant. If you go and you say, well, I'm a tenant, that means I'm renting. The words don't change just because you don't understand. The words mean what they mean. A tenant or joint tenants or tenants in the entirety all mean the same thing. You're renting from the state. The illusion of ownership gives you the ability to settle in and not fight. But the reality is that we don't own nothing in this land.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I answered your question about the land, the inheritance, and what every different part of the seed of Avram and the parts of the seed of Israel and Ephraim Ephraim and Manasseh, all of the, everybody's got a piece of land, and it's bigger than within modern-day Israel. It encompasses the globe.
Can I say something real quick, Sister Kavah, because we got 9 minutes left. We thank Brother Abraham for explaining everything, but I just wanted to say this, and we love everybody on the board, and I just wanted to say, from my observation, and I'm going to be real quick, I stood in the middle and I watched both sides from what I've seen, and we as the Hebrew Israelites have a responsibility to evangelize and to bring our nation back together by at least introducing them, planting the seed. Y'all have to do the waking up, but we have to plant the seed. We can't have any more arguing from camp to camp, because people are, they argue over doctrine just like Christianity argues over denominational issues. It's the same situation going on. It's just we're Hebrew Israelites with the truth. And I got a praise report today because a pastor called me today and told me that some of the churches that they've been around have started to having services on Saturday. So it's working what we're doing. We just need to do more of it. We got to come out of the building. Come out of the buildings, come out after step-up class and hit the street because our kids are killing each other. We can't stop it. We need to do something instead of watching it on the news and shaking our head at it and go out there and let them know that Yahweh is the Elohim and that he loves us and that we're going to do what we need to do to show you who you are. We got to do that. We commend the street preachers. Because they out there doing it, some people may not like their approach, and sometimes they're a little hard, and they don't have compassion, but they out there. And we got to get out there. The prison ministry is beautiful. The halfway houses are beautiful. All that stuff is beautiful. But our children, and let me say that again, our children are killing each other. And we got to do something to stop it. And that's all I have to say. Anybody else want to push one? You can, and we can go.
Kavah,
you got something else you
want to
say?
I need to comment on some of that stuff. This is Adonia?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. You understand? See, we got, if we're going to have these prison ministries and et cetera, we got to have some place for them people to go when they get out of
That's
jail.
Right.
You understand? So, and we supposed to be supporting them. We got to look like that we Israel. You understand? By doing something to show that Yah is blessing our hand in our endeavors. You understand? And that's gaining the favor of the Almighty, that we are taking care of our own. You understand? As long as we lean back on these folks, you understand, we ain't gonna do nothing for ourselves. Period.
Right.
And that's how it's been. And you know, and we got to come out of that. We got to start, if we're talking about going home and saving our children, because that's what's really at stake here. Our children is falling by the wayside faster than fast. You understand? Like I just mentioned about them churches opening up to married gay folks. You understand? And our children fall right on in line with that, like we've been doing for years and years. And guess what? We make it look so good. Understand? So we need to come together. Now, my solution here is let's try to go away from here thinking about the restoration of the Israel and how can I help?
That's
I'll
right.
relinquish the mic.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You got it. Go ahead.
No, I was just going on.
Shalom.
Somebody else.
Shalom.
Get the mic.
Go ahead. We hear you, Brother Moshe. Go ahead.
For those that's listening, this is some good advice that you could do. Every last one of us live on somebody's block. Go knock on all your neighbor's doors and introduce them to the Almighty Yah. Start with your neighbor. You have neighbors. Start there. Knock on all their doors and tell them you want to introduce them to the Almighty Yah and show them the commandments, laws, statutes, and ordinance. You got neighbors. Start with them. That's easy. It ain't a whole lot of footwork. It ain't a whole lot of traveling. Ain't a whole lot of nothing. They right in your neighborhood. Israel is all around you. Go from door to door, and talk to them. It's simple. I relinquish the mic.
One more thing. In answer to that, you understand, what could be done is that you invite them to the teachings so that they can learn. You understand? That don't, you know, that eliminates you having to go back and forth with conversation. Let them come and visit the place of where they observe the scripture. You understand? And this way you can teach them, you can grab hold to them and talk to them. You understand? This way it'll be done without any rebuke, because we're going to get plenty of that, and that's going to stop us from any time that we have rebuke back and forth. That's going to take longer for us to try to come together as a nation. And then we got to have some place for these folks to go to. Then they got to be looking at us and say, well, who are you? And what you have been, and Yah's been taking care of you, and you look like me, and you know, there's a lot of that we need to. I can't impress this upon us more. We need to try to get a treasury together and start taking care of our own. We can do. Aside from calling on the Almighty, you understand, and ask Him to bless our hand and tell Him how sorry we are, and we're ready to come back, and we're going to show Him by doing such and such and such to take care of our families. Hallelujah.
All right, now we got 3 minutes. Kavai, you want to say something real quick, because we're going to go out the air. We thank everybody for your participation today, and we hope that we will be able to continue this next week. Kavai, you have something you want to say?
Just want to thank my brothers and my sisters for being on the program, thanking everybody for their input, their thoughts, those things that came from their hearts, you know, which I believe came from the Most High Yahweh, and invite people to come onto the show, invite your friends, invite your family, those that are not in the truth, those that you know that are walking unconsciously concerning our Almighty Yahweh, our Creator. Invite them to come on the show so that they can hear and even ask questions, because even this within itself is a light to those who have no overstanding, understanding, or understanding. So I just want to thank everybody for being on this program, and I look forward to talking to everyone again next week. Shalom.
All right, and we want to let you know we have a newsletter out. If you're interested in it, please email us at nationofyehuda@yahoo.com. We want to thank all of our hosts, Brother Moshe from Chicago, Illinois, Brother Abraham from Hampton, Virginia, Brother Adoniah from Atlanta, Georgia. We'd like to thank our co-host, Kavai from Atlanta, Georgia, and all of the guests that came on today. We'd like to turn the music back on. We're going to turn our song back on, and then we're going to say shalom, shalom. And we hope that everyone enjoyed this. And also, we've reached 3,000 people with the last 3 shows, and we thank you for your participation, and we say shalom, shalom, everyone. Goodbye.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. See you next week.